don't know how to sugarcoat things, you have met one. You know, one that will tell you the truth. But then they will use that hand to draw you back. Say, I have to tell you the truth. Hey, blah, blah, blah. This is the way it is. I thank God for your life, sir. And I pray that the Lord will continue to uphold in Jesus' name. So it's my great pleasure to bring our daddy, a person of Pastor Vincent Omosi, to the podium. Can we please put our hands together for the Lord?
Hallelujah. Let's sit down for 1 minute. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, as I always tell them in church, not that if people, members of the church don't come to church, not that it's not a concern, but when you don't see the workers around, it's a concern, because the main church, which is the inner caucus, which has to do with the workers. And workers, when we say workers, without minister, pastors, we're all workers. So when the workers are not there, it's troubling, because you are the core church. So even if others will not come, I'm not talking about somebody is not feeling well, or a person is stronger, because of that, the person is not in church. That's a different thing, but we are talking about people just staying away, like, you know, sometimes without notice, without telling the pastor, this is where I'm going, I'm not going to be around, without due notice and stuff like that. That is troubling. And but workers still do that, unfortunately. And I don't think people do that when they go to their job or business. They don't do that. It's still, even as a pastor, you are not going to be around. You're going to be late. You still call. You are still going to even call. That's what we call accountability. So when you see a church like this, you see workers coming together to have a retreat. Don't take it lightly. I want to tell you, don't take it lightly. Somebody said, if you want to know who is a Christian, this is not to like relegate some of our brethren to the background because of their schedule. So far from it, but generally speaking, I say you should go there during the week, you know, whether you will see people. And there are some workers, it's only on Sunday you see them. And it's unfortunate. I know this country, we know it's not easy, but at the same time, anything that you value, you give priority, you know, because there's actually no time. There's time for everything. It depends on, you know, how important that thing is to you. If something is important to you, you are going to make out the time. You can't be giving excuses all the time. So, but I want to thank you. So don't take this your coming together lightly at all. I want to tell you, it's a big deal, because Jesus himself was having retreats, you know, from time to time, a personal retreat and also retreat with the disciples. So, and that's what we are doing now. It's time we come back together, we come together, we retreat, you know, just withdraw to a place like this. And we want to also charge our spiritual battery. So that's what the retreat is all about. So that, because what you have is what you give. What you don't have, you cannot give. So I pray that at a time like this, when you come together, you know, to be with the Lord and to recharge your spiritual batteries, I pray all your prayers will be answered in Jesus' name. Amen. Even as you are preparing for the end of the year prayer, which I know we normally do for the entire church. The Lord will keep every one of you. Amen. I say God will keep every one of us. Amen. None of you will be missing in Jesus' name. And his reward is with him. He will reward you, because he's a rewarder of those who do not only seek him, but diligently seek him. Diligent seek him. So the Lord will bless you in Jesus. So I want to thank the pastor and his wife, Pastor Mrs. Modupe, and the board of ministers and the board of trustees, all the workers that are here, as it were, and the Lord will honor you for the invitation in Jesus' name. I apologize to Pastor the other time, but I want to hopefully apologize again. I couldn't come for your end of year. I know it's always a tall order, but certain things came up that I couldn't make it. So thank God, because the fact that you have me here now, that means you have moved on. You forgive me. So thank God for that. I know it's an old story, but I just want to render my reserved apology to the church. Amen. So the Lord bless you. I say, may the Lord bless you.
Amen.
So without you guys supporting the Modukbes, the work will not move forward. And each time I come in here, I'm seeing new stuff. This year, I don't know, this is what I saw the other time, but it's awesome. I always see new things in your church anytime I come. And we give God all the glory. And God will give you more new things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Am I sitting here? Hey, yeah, okay. This way. Amen. So, let us pray. Spirit of God, we thank you. We magnify holy name. We worship you. Father, you, the one that put it in the hearts of your children, you, the pastor, that your children should have this time alone with you, to tabernacle with you, so that you can recharge them spiritually, so that you can recharge them in every area of their life, so that they will be vessel unto honor, which is your plan and purpose for their lives, so that they will be able to do the job, because it's a job we cannot do without your assistance, without your support, without the spiritual backing, without the anointing, without the encouragement, without the oil flowing from Mount Calvary. That is why they are here to tabernacle with you. Father, may this period of their waiting on you not be in vain, in Jesus' name. Father, as we go into your word, even before we pray, Father, let the heavens open. In the name of Jesus, speak to your children, O Lord. Let the word come with accuracy. Let the word come with precision. Let the word fall into the fertile soil of the heart of your children. In the name of Jesus, let there be revelation through the word. Let there be healing through the word. Let there be elevation through the word. Let there be insight through the word. In the name of Jesus, that at the end of this ministration, at the end of your retreats, every one of you will know that indeed God has opened a new chapter in your life.
Amen.
That the day God has visited you. Thank you, Abba Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 So the theme of your retreats, workers' retreat, is what? Breaking up by what? The fallow ground. So my message is titled, it's time to break up your fallow ground. It's time to break up what? Your fallow ground. Who's here? Okay, let's read Jeremiah 4:3. And then from there we read Hosea 10:12, which is actually talking about the same thing. If somebody sees it, you can just read for us. Jeremiah 4:3, then another person open to Hosea 10:12. Go ahead. Amen. Now Hosea 10:12. Hosea is one of the minor prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is time to break up your fallow ground. What is referred to as fallow ground? Those of us the majority of us here are from Nigeria, from Africa, and many of us came from farming community, maybe apart from few that are not like Femi. Brother Femi, we don't know what agriculture. Hey, Femi, I'm not just speaking on you. But you have been around for a while, so you are the one I know. You are the one that came to receive me. So, hallelujah. So you might not understand farming terminology, you know, agriculture and stuff like that. I know there are some of you that adults here, you were born in Lagos, born bred buttered and cheese in Lagos, and the popola, Pastor Popola, and the wife, right? Oh, not you? Oh, you went to the farm, okay. All right, so there are some people. You see, so. You are not as your butter and as your cheese. All right, so Utago. So which means I'm not alone then. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. So we know what land fallow, you know, it's all about. You know, when you say land is fallow, that means it has been left for a long time. You know, after you have farmed the land for some time, cultivated for some time, if you continue to cultivate it, it will not be rich. You know, it will not be rich. It will not be fertile. And you find that if you put your seed there, it will not produce well. Yeah, because so you allow it. But if you allow it to fallow, you allow it to remain there, unused. The land is fallow, that the land is left unused. If you allow it for a long time, what's going to happen? Weeds, thorns, you know, and trees will grow and stuff like that. And the purpose of allowing to grow fallow, really, in terms of when we talk about agriculture, is to make it to become more fertile, then you go back to it. It's not supposed to be left there forever. Because the purpose will be defeated. Because what is growing there is not going to be useful except you till it. You have to till it. You have to break it up. The Lord will help us in Jesus. So, fallow ground is ground that has once been tilled or cultivated but has gotten hard and lies in waste. You just allow you to be there. And this hard ground is waiting for tilling. And to be made soft so it can be prepared for planting. That is the essence of it. And farmers during the time of Jeremiah and Hosea, during their days, they had to till with the mall or ox and the plow. Harvest by hand. These days you don't harvest. So most of the time they don't harvest by hand. Mechanized farming. They have machines they use in doing stuff. And soon, even through technology and all that stuff, robots will be the one that will do much of the work. You know, we are getting there now. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. During that time, they use animals to plow and all that, harvest by hand, weed with the hole, diggers and stuff like that. Diligently seek God that He would, in His grace, allow rain in the proper amounts at the proper time. That is at that time. In other words, fallow ground was once productive, but after some time, it lies waste. That's what fallow ground is all about. And in Scripture, you know, when talking about the Bible, the ground represents our hearts. You know, the ground or the land, the way it is used here by both Jeremiah and Hosea, it represents our hearts. Can somebody say amen? So a fallow ground was not productive, but after some time, just like waste or fallow. Once there were abundant harvests from that particular soil, now there are weeds, becomes weeds and just wilderness. So both Hosea and Jeremiah, they identify with the need to break up the fallow ground. They identify that there's need to break up the fallow ground. I'm talking about the life of the children of Israel and the rest of it, where once their life, everyday activity was at sync, and in sync with the will of God, you know. But sin came, distraction came, they will no longer pay attention to the God of Israel, the Lord that has helped them, that's always fighting their battles for them, you know, they were backsliding. In a backsliding state, and these prophets, they came with the message that people need to repent. People need to come back to God. Instead of going back to idols, serving idols, it's time to come back to God. Hallelujah. So because wheat and thorns, they represent sin. They represent, of course, you know that wheat is defined as unwanted plant. So those things that are contrary to the will of God and make us not to flow in the Lord, things that are distractions, distracting us from God, you know, going back to Egypt, going back to those our vomit and stuff like that, we'll not go back to our vomit in Jesus' name. So those are the things that represent, that wheat and wilderness represent. So Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah and Hosea, they identify with the need to break up the fallow ground. That is what you people have seen, that it is good that we walk, even Jesus himself, as righteous as he was, after some time, after ministering to people, doing a lot of work, he will go to a quiet place alone. Sometimes he will go with disciples, sometimes he will go with a tree. He will go with, you know, just the different groups to recharge, as it were. So we need to do that too. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I say the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. For example, the Hosea, Jeremiah, you know, knowing that there's need to break up the fallow ground, because in the past, God did some wonderful things in their life. For example, the parting of the Red Sea. Okay, those were wonderful things that God moving in their midst, you know, mightily, the glory of God was around them, encompassed them, you know, as it were, God was always moving with them. What about the water from the rock, as it were? These were some of the things God did. So the nation's sad condition that prompted Hosea's prophetic call, it was the nation's sad condition, what they were going through. They were far away from God and the rest of it. All the way God moved with them before, that was no longer happening. Even the time of Gideon, we remember how when the God came and he was giving me assignment and all that, this is what you have to do, because the Midianites were, you know, plundering them. The Midianites were torn in their flesh. We remember how Gideon was hiding, as it were. And when God called him, and God spoke to him, I know what he said. He said, "You call me man of valor, when I'm hiding, when my people are being killed? Where are they?" Said, during the time of our fathers, we knew how God moved in their midst, all the wonders God did. But where is that God now and the rest of it? God said, "That's the more reason why I'm calling you. Because there are fallow grounds that have to be broken, that need to be broken. Every fallow ground in our lives, in our ministry, in our family, concerning our children, concerning our calling, concerning our career, they are going to be broken up in Jesus' name. Amen. They shall be broken up in Jesus' name." Amen. Fallow ground could represent even our prayer life. Or the way we used to bond before. Some of us, we know when we were in Nigeria, you know, we know how we fast, how we pray, everything. Whether there's no food or no food, we know how we prayed. We know how we prayed, because covenants can be, I know this country has its own challenges, there's no doubt about it. That's why people come from other parts of the world, people who have not been here from other parts of the world, you know, they just think, they can criticize the way people, if they heard about what is happening through the internet or the rest of it, they kind of feel that the people here are not spiritual and stuff like that. It's true that we have our own issues. We have our own challenges, which are different from the challenges over there. But trust me, they have their challenges. They have their challenges. There's no doubt about it. So you find that the way we do things, ministry here cannot be the same do ministry in Nigeria, whether you like it or not. And whether you like it or not, there are areas of vulnerability. There are areas where we are vulnerable because of the system. And there are areas they are vulnerable. I'm not trying to defend our system here, but the truth of the matter is that don't jump here. Sometimes you invite people from Nigeria, Africa, they come and they will be running their mouth. They don't understand. I'm not trying to tell you that you invite people from Africa, don't get me wrong, but the truth has to be said. They don't know what it is here. If they come here and they stay here, they're not going to do ministry the way they do ministry there. You Is somebody hearing me now? For example, you may laugh at me that how can they say night vigil and they are having the prayer, their night vigil, whatever you call it, vigil at 7 p.m. Vigil has to do with prayer, night prayer. So whether you pray from 7 to 10 or from 10 to 2 or from 10 to whatever, it's what works for the people. That's what you have to be realistic, because if people are going to be at work and nobody, you not see anybody 12 midnight or 1 a.m., come on, it's a bad prayer. And God will be present anytime. No, I'm telling you, so you do what works. What does not work, you can't do it. He said, because this is how we used to do it. It's true. But that system is different from the system here. So you got to be realistic. All we do is prayer. The God of the night is the God of the day. That is the truth. And when it's day here, it's night in Nigeria. So if you say it's because of the night that you are praying it, okay, fine. All the wishes you want to, you're attacking them in the night. It's night over there. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So it's, we have to do things that work. If you don't, if you are doing it, doing something that does not work, it's not, is it cannot work. The reason why it cannot work is that this is a different system. This is a different setup. So if you say, the way we use it, that's the way you used to do it. One, two, this is not Nigeria. Am I getting, are you getting? I don't know whether I'm saying something crazy, but I am just telling you that the good things that we have over there that we can do, we cannot throw them away. Don't get me wrong. But there are certain things that can't just work here, because this place is, it can be Nigeria, it can be Ghana, it can be any other country, you have to use Nigeria. But this is America. So if what does not work and you want to do it, I don't know why I'm going to this direction. This is not part of my message. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. That was a digression, but, you know, the Lord will help us. So you guys have identified with the need for you to come together to pray. You have identified the need, just like the prophets identified the need, that you need to go back to better. We also can identify with the need for this call in our time, the call to break up fallow ground. I was telling you the other time that, you know, when we were in Nigeria, we come here, we used to be very, very hot over there. We used to pray, we used to fast, and it's good for us not to throw away such things even where we come here. We may be doing it in different ways, but we can only change our strategies. But those ideals, those values are still valid, and we still have to continue to follow them up and grow in them. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I say the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Churches have grown cold and compromising. There's compromise everywhere. And that's what we talk about, breaking up our fallow ground. What we used to do before, in terms of advancing the kingdom, in our prayer life, we have grown cold. In our, you know, service to God, we have grown cold. Following what, you know, what is in vogue, what is popular. That's, you see, something may be popular, but that doesn't mean that it's right before God. A majority may say this is where we go, but doesn't mean they are right. Is somebody hearing me now? That's what the majority is saying. That's what the poll is saying. But that doesn't mean it's right. That is the truth. That's just the truth. That is just the truth. The spies were sent out to go and spy the land of Jericho, the promised land, Canaan land. And when they came back, so the 12 of them, 10 gave a majority report. The report was that, listen, they have giants in the land. The land has devoured its inhabitants. gross exaggeration. The land that divorce is habitat. The land is fruitful, but there are sons of Anak there, giants. So we can't even go there. We can't go there. We can't go there. This, you see, our work, our calling, our work is the work of faith. If we you are going to use your human imagination and sight, you will not even be here. When that's workers now, you will not be here. If you have to use your mindset, your human imagination and thinking, you are not likely to be here. That's the truth of the matter. But we walk by faith, not by sight. In spite of the challenges we have, in spite of the system, God will help us to navigate the system. I didn't hear your amen. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If God has planted us here such a time as this, in spite of the challenges, God will help us not to blend, not to blend in, but to stand out. Because it happened before. It's not just today. It's not what is happening today. It's not strange. The reason why we feel things are strange is because we have technology, we have social media. So things that you don't even know that exist before they exist. But now, pyam, there's so much information, an avalanche of information. That's why people feel that nothing is new. These things have happened before, and they are still happening, right from the beginning. Before Christ, when Christ came, after Christ finished his earthly ministry, has gone and he has handed the baton to us, those things have been happening. So, if the children of God were thrown into fiery furnace, your fiery furnace may not be the physical one, but when people are doing stuff at your place of work and you don't want to do it, you don't want to do what others are doing, because you are special, because you are called. You are set apart. That's why we are peculiar people. That's why we are different. You can't do what other people are doing. That's why my children, when they were young, they say regular people. My children, they 4 or 5 years, they said, you know, the young people that are not Christian, they are regular people. That's what the children were saying, even though they didn't know what they were saying, but they actually quoted the scripture, because we are not regular people. So when they say you are strange, as a believer, it's a compliment. If they say you are weird, that means you are doing something right. You know why? Because the Bible said you are peculiar. You are peculiar means you are unique. You are unique means you stand out. Means they are not regular. You're not like any other person. Because if you are like any other person, then you are not peculiar. You are not set apart. You are not different. But God said we are different. And if you are set apart, then that means that you are doing the right thing. May we not blend in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May we stand out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I say, may we stand out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's my prayer that every area of our life that is, we are supposed to be functional, any ground, any area of our lives that is fallow, and we need to break up such fallow ground, the Lord will give us the grace to break them up in Jesus' name. You know that many people are dying in sin and going to hell. That's a fallow ground that needs to be broken up in the area of evangelism. God will give us the grace in Jesus' name, even to evangelize. What does fallow ground produce? What does fallow ground produce? I know you are an apostle of time, so what does, so I'm going to be pretty fast before we pray. What does fallow ground produce? fallow ground produces thorns and thistles. It produces thorns and thistles. You see that in Matthew. We are not going to read it, but you all write it down. Matthew 13:7. Matthew chapter 13, verse 7, and also verse 22. It talks about the ground that's full of thorns and thistles. So the fallow ground produces thorns and thistles. The cares, and what does that mean? The cares of this world chokes out the word of God. The cares, that's verse 22. The cares of this world chokes out the word of God. You are doing well before as a child of God, and the rest of probably where you were in Nigeria. Don't even get me wrong. I'm not saying that there are no areas where we need to do better. That's not what I meant when I said we don't do ministry, we cannot do ministry here the same way we do in Nigeria. That's not what I meant. So if you are a prayer warrior before, you are very functional, you're always in church and the rest of it, it's true that you might not be sleeping in church that you used to sleep in church in Nigeria. It's true, because the church doesn't have the capacity to be paying your bills. Am I right? Yeah. You have to work. And if you don't work, the church itself, because you have to pay your tithe, you have to give to the church for us to pay the mortgage. So if you are going to be here and be doing money cry, coming here every morning, 5 a.m. to 7 every day, you are going to do that because you know that doing it in Nigeria, and you want to do it here. Money cry. You come here 5 a.m. to 7. If you are doing, I'm not trying to discourage you. You are going to be coming here to be sleeping in church from morning to night, morning to night, morning to night, morning to night. I don't think that's God has hand in that. That's why most of the African countries are not even moving forward, because they spend the time they're supposed to be in the office, they are stealing it. They say they are serving God. God has no hand in that. There's time to walk. There's time to pray. There's time for everything. Yeah, you are not being productive. You're going to be sleeping in church from morning to night. Thursday. You say, work of God. Work of what? That's the work of the devil. That's no work of God. If he that will not work, should do it. Is somebody hearing me now? And I say, every morning they will be going to church 5 to 7. If you have a job doing, you will not be going to church every morning. I'm going there to pray 5 to 7. You are not being productive. Because of the time, let me not go to that. No, it's true. It's true. They say that's not spirituality. For Christ's sake, that's not. Just imagine now. So, who is going to pay the bill? No, we spend the whole time in church. You don't spend the whole time in church. You are not being productive. People who invent all these things, they don't sleep in church. I'm telling you. They don't sleep in church. They stand for everything, in other words. Because it goes against the principle of, the principles and values of the kingdom. It's crazy. That is why they don't have anything doing. They go to the church. The breaking of fallow ground is not going to the church. You see all sorts of nonsense on social media. They go to church with cutlass. And they say they are praying the night, and they are cutting the devil. Everybody, including the pastor, they all cutlass. None of you have seen it. Others, they say they are flogging the devil. Yes. Really? Yeah. They say they are flogging the devil. Well, it's an exercise. Maybe those of them who are not doing exercise before, it's an exercise. A lot of stuff people are doing, they said ignorance. Because they just want, pastors want to gather crowd. Just want, because, oh Lord Jesus, have mercy. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. What does fallow ground produce? The deceitfulness of riches causes wrong priorities. Idolatry replaces total dedication to the Lord. What is idolatry? That's another area, the fallow ground we are talking about. You know, idolatry is not just carving a wood and bowing before the wood or stone or tree. Carved image. That's not the only thing we call idolatry. Where we put human beings, leaders, spiritual leaders, in the first position in our life. We put them, we prioritize them. They take the place of God in our lives. The first, take the first place in our life. That's an idol. When we think that obedience to man and dedication to man and our humility to man is equivalent to obedience to God, that is faulty. Obedience and dedication to man is not necessarily obedience and dedication to God. That is idolatry. If you go to reverend, you are going to reverend the general overseer like God, and you put him in place of God, like if he's not there, then you are dead. You don't have life anymore. And some people are doing it, I'm telling you. That is idolatry. You are worshiping human being. God didn't say we should worship any human being. We have to obey our leaders. We have to, you know, respect them, but not to the point of seeing them as God. But if you see them as God and they accept that kind of adoration, it can even kill such a pastor. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's idolatry. Fallow ground produces the root of bitterness. When we have a fallow ground, I've already told you that the ground represents our heart. So when our heart is fallow, we are not doing what we're supposed to do, it will lead to, you know, bitterness. And they won't talk about fallow ground produces the root of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 12 to 13. It talks about that. When we come to church, we sing, Holy Spirit, you are here. Sweet, sweet Spirit, you are in this place. You know, and stuff like that. When there's bitterness around, and we are singing this song, and we're raising the holy hands, and we have bitterness against one another, it's true that as human beings, we offend one another. Even as someone, as spouse, husband and wife, we offend one another. It's part of life. But it's not something we have to be keeping grudges. We step on each other's toes, but it's part of it. It's just part of life. Even Peter, Paul and Peter, there was a time that they were, they disagreed. It's just part of life. The way we handle disagreement is the problem. It's the difference. The way we handle it, otherwise there will always be a disagreement. Because of John Mark, Paul and Barnabas, they fell apart. So these are scriptures. So it doesn't mean that we are saying that we cannot disagree and all that. We disagree. We can even disagree because of the work of the Lord. Because different of opinion and the rest, but at the end of the day, it's Jesus that brought us together. And because of the work of the Lord, we want to go to heaven. So we have to move on. We have to put aside our differences and move on. Because we are still putting on this earthly tabernacle, this body. Definitely, we make mistakes. Definitely we offend each other. Sometimes not even consciously. Sometimes not deliberately. Whether deliberate or not deliberate, we have to put those bitterness aside. Otherwise, when we say we raise the Holy Spirit, come and dwell in our midst, it's not going to happen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And do you know that two can chase 1,000, but two shall put 10,000 to flight? So the power of unity. If we have bitterness in our midst, that is a fallow ground that needs to be broken up. And God cannot move. Because that means there's a camp in the camp. We cannot move. Do you know that? It's not a matter of multitude. Thank God for multitude. But when you look at the way things work in the kingdom, Not that God does not use multitude. If they make themselves available. But you find that in organizations, in churches, in groups, only few people do the work. Only few people. So God is not looking for multitude. But what I'm trying to say, as workers, as you and I, by the grace of God, at the center of the church, you must know that. So if what you used to be before, you are no longer doing it, that's a fallow ground that needs to be broken up. Maybe you were offended, and because of that offense, Jesus said offense must come. But do not allow offense to stand your way, to rob you of your relationship with God, to rob you of the kingdom work, what you are supposed to do, your assignment. When you abandon your assignment, what you used to do before, you are no longer doing it. That is backsliding. Backsliding does not start one day. That fallow ground needs to be broken. The way you used to be hurt before. And we have to be careful too. Even me that is speaking. Forget about title. Forget about position. It's not going to take us anywhere. I'm telling you, things are happening, and things are happening up there. In the system, in the organization, if we are not careful, it can bring about bitterness. It can make us to be discouraged, even as leaders. It can make us to feel, what is all this? That's why people even leave ministry. If you look at, check the statistics, make statistics here of people who leave ministry every day in this country, you'll be so surprised. Because of discouragement, disillusionment, you know, a lot of stuff going on. When people are not encouraged, you're like, it's a lot of work. It's tough. I'm telling you, it's tough to be in ministry. It's tough to be a Christian. It's tougher to be a Christian worker. Let me tell you, up there is hot. We sit here, it's easy. When members of church say, hey, do this, Usher is not doing this. They don't sing well. I see they are singing for them. They are singing the song is for them. If they don't sing well, go and join. If they don't sing well. Is somebody here? They're not singing to us. They don't sing for us. So when you decide their voice, did they even pray? Nobody singing to impress you. Well, worship God. And the choir did it this way. Go join. It's easy to criticize from the sideline. Those people who don't play who are not playing the football or the soccer, they, hey, you should have played it this way, you have played this way. You go there. It's not there, I'm telling you. So be careful when you criticize. Bishop gave us a testimony the other day, Bishop Kingsley, you know him very well. He was giving us a testimony of how, this is why I minister, okay? Of how a brother, he was criticizing another brother. You know, he didn't preach well. Bishop said, no problem. He just said, you are going to lead the prayer on Friday to the brother. When he came, when the brother came, after 2 minutes, the guy wanted to faint. After 2 minutes, he was shaking. So he said, Bishop, he said, maybe Bishop not give. I said, no, but you know more than that. So he said, the thing is not easy. So what I'm saying is that it's easy to criticize, but I'm telling you, go easy, Rara. At least I understand that one. It's not easy, man. So it's not easy until you are there. So sometimes we need to really step back and put ourselves, you know, just put yourself in the shoes of these people. And our members, they don't know that it's not easy to be a worker. There's a lot of sacrifice that workers make. Day in, day, a lot of sacrifice. You are going the extra mile because you say you're a worker, you are going the extra mile. It's work, not title. Just like that. The Lord will help us to carry the burden in Jesus' name. Amen. I said the Lord will help us to carry the burden in Jesus' name. Yeah, this morning, God has a way of, you know, helping us. This morning, one of the reasons why I didn't come as early as I did, some of my leaders in the church, some of ministers, they said they want to come and see me. I even thought it's just a family. And then, you know, but they came earlier than they even said, but I wanted to leave 9:30 so that I can get here before, maybe by 10 or thereabout, or 10 something. But I'm talking about how God can send encouragement, you know, because when they came, they will say something, they were encouraging me. I am telling you, some of these, they said, it's like God was just confirming some of the things I was thinking about even yesterday. You know, so this work is not easy. It's just the grace of God, especially we are up there, brethren. You know, as pastors, we are not perfect. You know, as workers, we are not perfect. And as long as you are not perfect, then you should be giving people that room, that benefit of the doubt, that, because it's not easy until you are there. You know, so we need to really, you know, encourage one another. We need to encourage, and that's really helped me. I told them that sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. Sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. And believe me, honestly, it's not just me. Sometimes, because we are human beings. But because necessity is laid on you, that you have to be there. Even as workers, you know that sometimes you don't want to come. If I can feel that way, what about you? Because we are human beings. Sometimes, but necessity, that's the reason why if you make yourself a worker, say you're a worker, it now like put a burden on you. You wouldn't have come to church. For example, you would have been here, if not for the commitment. But necessity laid on you to be here. So it helps you in a way. As it is places you would like to go, but because you are a minister, you don't want to go. It may not necessarily be sin, but you feel it's not proper for you to be there. As it is people do, you don't want to do it because of what you are carrying. The Lord will not disappoint you. The way I received this encouragement this morning, whenever you need encouragement when you are down, may God send encouragement to you. May God send help to you. May Lord encourage you. I said, may the God of heaven encourage you. I pray this prayer from my heart. Brethren who have immigration situation, they have this, they have that. You have 1,001 reason why you will not be here, but you are here. God will send help to you. 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 Jehovah God will send help to you. The balm of Gilead. God will release the balm of Gilead upon you. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to run so that I can use the remaining time to pray, because I know I stop at 11. Bitter believers are often offended and are quick to cause divisions in the church. May that not be a portion in Jesus' name. Fallow ground is often the result of apathy and laziness. Slothful Christians are slow to do what God has commanded. Judges chapter 18, verse 9. Judges chapter 18, verse 9. Slothful Christians hold back from service for the Lord. They hold back from service for the Lord. Proverbs 12:27. Slothful Christians find excuses for not getting involved. Proverbs 22:13. Slothful Christians find that their lives are unproductive. Proverbs 24:30. We are talking about what does fallow ground produce. When you used to be strong, you used to work very hard, everything. But now, what about now? Are you just lingering on past glories? The past glories, when I used to pray very well, when I was. So who's stopping you? Who's stopping you from doing it now? How can fallow ground be broken up? How can fallow ground be broken up? I know my time is far gone, but we still have to pray. How can fallow ground be broken up? Fallow ground can be broken up by earnestly studying the Word of God. The Word of God, the prayer, the rosary, just like we are doing now. Fallow ground can be broken up by the plow of God's Word. The Bible is a mirror that enables us to see ourselves as we truly are. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 23 to 24. The Bible also enables us to see ourselves as God sees us. Fallow ground can be broken up by repentance, through repentance. Fallow ground can be broken up by humility and prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. What will it take to break up your fallow ground? Let's rise up. What will it take to break up your fallow ground? Are you willing to pay the price of revival? When we say we need to break up our fallow ground, that means we need a revival. We need revival. We are going to pray. This is the word of God to you, his people. Even as the year is coming to a close, thus says the Lord, break up your fallow grounds. It is time for us to assess some new dimensions in life. The good Lord is therefore calling on the church, calling on you and me, to get ready to tap into some untapped potential. The unused ground, untapped potential, the potential God has endowed you with. They are untapped. They are untapped, unused. That's why the Lord is calling us right now to break up our fallow ground. Hallelujah. So we should get ready to tap into the untapped potential. We have to remove everything that does not align with the word of God so that we can assess your new levels and realms with God. We have to forsake the word. To break up the fallow ground, to forsake the word and embrace the word of God. Lift up your hands. Say, Father. Say, Father, every unused ground, every unused potential, every untapped potential in my life, Father, break such ground now. In the name of Jesus. Break such ground now, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. In the next 15 minutes, I want us to pray. The next 15 minutes, I want us to pray very hard. Every untapped potential, every gift that the Lord has given to you, every gift that God has given to me that I have not used, Father, help me to use them. 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 In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are going to come against every bitterness. Every bitterness. Bitterness. I was reading some news online yesterday, and I was so surprised. Hey, brethren, the word of God is true. The scripture is true. When you see psychologists carrying out experiment research, and they come up with the things Bible we already know as believers, so we are in a better position. It's not only Bible we should read, though. We need to read the work that are not, you know, not just like research work or books, you know, that have nothing to do with the Bible, but everything is rooted in the Bible. Because you see this research work that I read last night, I was so surprised. Talking about forgiveness. These researchers, not Christian researchers. And you see what they said about the research they carried out, which because we talk about it like forgiveness, and marriage, and divorce in church, is very, very sensitive issue. Even as Christians, how are you going to say that we are human beings, God understand? They say forgiveness is not about the other person. If you don't understand what forgiveness is about you, for your own sanity, for your own life, for you to have a long life, for you not to be sick. Because the traces of some of these diseases have been traced to unforgiveness when you bear grudging at the rest of it. Even cancer and stuff like that. Yes. You say it's not about another person. So if you were that, these are just secular writers. So if they can say that, we're in a better position. So when you see that, you read that, they be like, say, wow. So which means what the Bible says is true. So it helps your faith. That's why we need to read. Lift your hands. Say, Father, every root of bitterness, take away from my life. Take away from my life. Everything that is bitterness that is standing on my way as a believer, as a worker, like, take away bitterness from my life. No more bitterness. 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 No bitterness. Mashakara ba 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 ba. Rema shakara ba 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 ba. Take away bitterness. Bitterness, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. Take away bitterness from my life, oh Lord. Take away anything that is stand on my way between me and you. Take away in the name of Jesus. Take away bitterness, oh Lord. Reba ba ba yakara ba 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 ba. Mashakara ba 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 ba. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. The Bible says, it says, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The power of unity cannot be underestimated. It cannot be overemphasized. That's why Jesus said that His prayer for us is that we will be one. So we are going to pray. Lift up your hands. Even as workers, the eyes, the hands of Jesus, as disciples, God has given or handed over the baton to us. We are going to pray. Say, Father, help us to be united. Help us to be one. So that we can break every fallow ground in our lives. Fallow ground in our ministry. Fallow ground in our calling. Fallow ground in our marriages. Fallow ground in our career. Fallow ground in our relationship. Pray, 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 pray. That we dwell in as one. We dwell as one. We dwell as one. Help us to dwell as one. Help us to dwell as one. Help us to live as one. Help us to depend on you, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Breaking up fallow ground is a call for revival. We are going to pray that God will send the spirit of revival, the fire of revival. The fire of revival. Say, Father, release the fire of revival upon us, O Lord. Remove the fire of revival. Release the fire of revival upon Restoration Arena, upon this parish. Pray that prayer. Revival, revival, revival. Mashakara ba 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 ba. Lord, release the fire of revival. Fire of revival. Fire of revival. Fire of revival. Revive us, O Lord. 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 Mashakara ba 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 ba. Mashakara ba 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 ba. Lord, we need your revival. We need your revival. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. I want to make sure that I'm able to walk with it. That give it to me. I have only a few minutes more, but we are going to pray. We are going to pray that every weakness in us, God will turn to strength. Yeah. Brethren, let me tell you, if being a pastor doesn't give one any immunity to all the stuff around us. The fact that you are a pastor doesn't mean that you don't go to the supermarket. Doesn't mean that you don't go to the bathroom to do number two or number one, whatever that means. The fact that so what I'm trying to say is that all the ups and downs, all the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs, they are the things that we deal with. Every one of us deal with. Whether you're a pastor, whatever title you are hearing, it doesn't matter. So we're going to pray that God will give us the grace to stand. The grace to stand. In our weaknesses, God will turn to strength. In our weaknesses, God will turn to strength. The area where we are struggling, that the Lord will help us. God will help us. Pray that prayer from your heart. Any area where we have difficulty, where we are struggling, pray that the anointing of God will settle you. The anointing of God will remove our weaknesses. God will turn our weaknesses to strength. Any area, are you praying? Are there no things you are dealing with in your life? Father, those areas where I'm struggling, Lord, help me. Help me turn my weaknesses to strength. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Rapasaka mama. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are going to pray that God will release His fire, the fire revival upon us. Can we take, before we take that prayer, amen. Before we take that prayer, I want us to sing that song, this song. And then, you know, we pray the prayer, then I will wrap up. Set down the fire, we praise you, O Lord. Fire of the Holy Ghost, we pray. Father, send out the fire, we praise you, O Lord. Oh, fire of the Holy Ghost, we say. Oh, Jesus, send out the fire,
we praise you, O Lord.
Oh, fire of the Holy Ghost,
we say amen.
Father, send out your power,
we praise you, O Lord.
Oh, power of the Holy Ghost,
we say amen.
Father, send out the fire.
We praise you, O Lord.
Oh, power of the Holy Ghost.
We say amen.
Say, Father, revive us, O Lord, with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we need more of it, O Lord. We need more of it, O Lord. Release your fire into our bones. Release your fire into our bones. Release your fire into our bones. We can't do this without you. We can't do this without you. Oh, we need your fire. We need your power. We need your fire. We need your, come on, pray. We need the fire. Fire in our bones. Revive us, oh Lord, as workers and ministers. Revive us, oh Lord. Revive us, oh Lord. Revive us. Resurrect our body. Revive our soul. Revive our spirit. Fire in our bones, oh Lord. Fire in our bones, oh Lord. Fire in our bones. Fire in this church. Fire in Restoration Arena. Fire in our family. Fire of revival, O Lord. Fire revival. Fire revival. In the name of Jesus. Revive us, O Lord. Revive us, O Lord. Revive us, O Lord. Revive us, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God has not failed. God has not changed. God, you don't do business with God and you go bankrupt. I want to assure you, my little years in ministry, I know that in computer language, they say garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you do in Zion, whatever you do in the vineyard of the Lord, whatever you do in the kingdom, within and outside the church, kingdom of God is not just the church. It's everywhere. You know that. So at a place of work, that place belongs to God. That is the kingdom. So kingdom work is not just church. The one of church, know that it's not important, but it's a part of it. There's so much. The kingdom of God is all a capacity. We come here to gather fire so that we'll do the work. So don't be spiritual only when you are inside the church. Everywhere you go, you are kingdom carrier. You are carrying Jesus with you. You are carrying the Lord with you. And since you are carrying the Lord with you, wherever you are, you will advance the kingdom.
Amen.
You will showcase Jesus. Amen. I said you will showcase Jesus.
Amen.
You will not do work like others.
Amen.
Because you are a carrier of the kingdom. You are a carrier of His power. Say, Father, let your fire follow me. Let your power follow me. Let your anointing follow me. As your workers in your kingdom, not just in the church, but in your kingdom, anywhere I go in my place of work, let me manifest. Let me manifest your power. Let me manifest your glory at my place of assignment, at my place of work. Let me manifest you, O Lord. Let me manifest you, O Lord. Let me manifest you, O Lord. The power, the glory, the anointing. Let me manifest it. Let me show forth. In the name of Jesus. Let me show forth, O Lord. Let me show your glory. Let me manifest your power. Let me manifest your glory. Let me make a difference. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. May the fire of the Lord go with you. May the fire of the Lord be in your bones. May the fire of the Lord take away every obstacle from your life. Every debris, every weed, every unwanted plant, every tree that God has not planted in your life that is obstructing your productivity, that's obstructing your ministry, that's standing on your way to your Rehoboth, anything that's limiting you spiritually, materially, financially, in every area, may the fire of God burn them. Everything that is saying you must not move forward, every Pharaoh in your family that said you must not go, and if you go at all, you shouldn't go far, may God uproot them. May God uproot them. May God uproot them. May God uproot them. May God prosper you in your ministry. Every step you take, may God give you strength. May there be manifestation of God's glory, of God's power, of God's anointing. May God give you a double portion of the anointing. The anointing to do exploit, may God give to you. May God give you peace. May God give you rest. In the name of Jesus. This church, RCCG Restoration Arena, that which the Lord has ordained concerning this church, the assignment God has given you. Every church is given an assignment. We are not given the same assignment. There are certain things God wants you to do. Otherwise, you will not be here. That assignment the Lord has given you corporately and individually. May God help you to carry them out. In the name of Jesus, may you fulfill your assignment. May you fulfill your calling. May you fulfill your individual calling. May you fulfill your corporate calling. In the name of Jesus, God will help you to advance his kingdom. And every benefit in the kingdom of God, every benefit in Zion, and this is Zion, as you tabernacle in Zion, as you come to Zion, as you advance the kingdom of God, as you do the work in Zion, you do the work of God, God will reward you. May he continue to reward you. May God continue to show up. I did hear your amen. When at the point, at the time of your need, whatever the need is, could be immigration need, your career, your work with God, your spiritual life, the property you want to buy for the church, whatever it is, God knows them. May God meet you at the very point of your need. In the name of Jesus. And I pray God will send you helpers of destiny. God will send help to you. God will send help to you. And those God has put behind you, that you will be the one to help them, to lift them up. May God help those people to trace you. In the name of Jesus. Lift your right hand up. I'm rising up now. Every dream that is not of God, every negative dream, any area the enemy has manipulated you in your dream, in your sleep, whatever it is that is not of God, I cancel them. I cancel such dream. I nullify them. They will not come to pass. And every dream the Lord has given you that is of God, that came from God, and is good, may God speed up now their manifestation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Abba Father, for giving strength to your children. For giving strength to the pastor, and the wife, and the ministers, the workers, everyone, the board of trustees. Thank you for moving it forward. You will begin to walk together. And any area that you have been having rough edges before, bitterness, those root of bitterness have been uprooted. Amen. I did hear your amen. Amen. And anything that has been stopping you from reaching where God has ordained you to reach, those things have been removed. Amen. A new chapter has been opened in your life. It's a new thing. It's a new season. And God will keep all of you alive to enter into the new year. And many years to come if Christ tarries in his coming. And I declare that none of you will die before your time. You will not die prematurely. The enemy, the Pharaoh, the enemy in your father's house and in your mother's house cannot touch you. They cannot do you harm. Because the glory of God has covered you like the water covered the sea. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord if you like.